Three, two, one.
Hello and welcome to Pastoral Insights. I'm your host, Vincent T. Edwards, pastor of True Holiness Church of God in Christ. You can visit us on the internet at trueholinesscogic.org. That's trueholinesscogic.org. And more about me is available at vincenttedwards.com. That's vincenttedwards.com. Once again, welcome to Pastoral Insights. And my guest today is Pastor Eric Thomas, and we're going to be talking about all the wonderful things that he can help your ministry do to grow and reach the lost. Pastor Thomas, welcome to Pastoral Insights.
My friend, Pastor Edwards, how are you?
I'm doing just wonderful, man. It's a great day to be alive, to be able to do the things that God has called us to do. And it's just truly a pleasure to be able to have you here in our studio.
The honor is all mine.
Oh, man, for those who are listening, give us a little bit of background about you, Pastor Eric Thomas.
You know, one of the hardest things for me to do is talk about myself. I teach and I teach and train people how to pitch themselves, and I find it always hard to find the words to talk about. But of course, I am. I'll start to say I'm a husband, and I'm a father, I'm a grandfather, a minister of the gospel. And 2017 will be 30 years of preaching the gospel. Preaching the gospel 30 years. Started preaching when I was 11 years old.
Wow.
Yeah. And so God has been faithful 14 years going into the 15th year of pastoral ministry, just about the seventh year of consulting churches and businesses and, helping people overcoming their, I always say this, getting out of your own way and building your, identifying your strengths and your weaknesses, opportunities, strengths. So you can move forward in the things of God. Again, that whether that be an individual or an organization, I prefer to work actually with individuals versus organizations. But, I work for God. So whatever doors he opened for me, I tend to walk in. I'm the founder and senior managing partner at igroupconsultants.com and the planting pastor at Impact Life Ministries.
Wow. What drives you? I mean, what's your passion? What makes you come alive?
It's getting out of the bed every day, hitting my feet on the ground is knowing that I'm going to serve other people. My prayer every day is, Lord, lead me, guide me. I always talk about the impulse or being intuitive. I talk a lot of that with my clients. I'm very intuitive, listening to the Holy Spirit. I have a goal or I have a calendar set, but I'm so flexible with God because I never know what God is going to send me. He'll send me literally around a whole different direction on a traffic route. And I just trust him and live in that kind of realm of faith. And I find such joy to get to a place to find that God has made a connection for me. For example, it wasn't on my calendar yesterday. I go to a fashion show. I was invited to go. And then I was invited up to come talk about myself, and which was hard to do. It took me about 2 minutes to get it together to really talk about myself. Like, why would God have this pastor up at this fashion show to talk? But after that, just the response of people who had interest in what I do. So it's just one of those Kairos moments. So I live just to be in the moment with God, the presence with God.
Preaching since the age of 11, that's a long time. How did you know that you were first called into the ministry?
It was, instinct. I knew at five. My story is one that's very touching. One is at five, normally a child at five has the ability to learn to write his or her name, start reading some letters. That wasn't the case for me. As the narrative is from my mom, who's deceased, was really my angel. I at five or six, actually, I began to express my desire to read God's word. And so that was really how I began to learn how to read. So it was for my mom's mom, O'Neely Cash, had an eighth grade education, but she taught herself to read by reading the Bible. And so when I was growing up in school and wasn't catching it, they told my mom and my father, of course, that I would not be like other students. I had learning disorders. But the way that I learned to read was reading the scriptures. The scriptures fascinated me. The word of the Lord is alive. I understood it. I got it at 11 years old. Some of the even more difficult text, God gave me understanding. And then I knew God had called me to minister. I was not released until the age of 11. My mom and dad wanted to make sure I was groomed and I didn't do anything prematurely. So my first message was at 11 years old. I don't think I preached again for another 3 years for them to say, hey, we're going to send you back into letting the Lord mold you and train you and get you to where you need to be before we start to release you to the public. I'm greatly appreciative of that. But I knew at the age 5, I've been called to preach the gospel to the nations.
Wow. So where are some of the more renowned or famous places that you have spoken, ministries?
Let me think. Church of God in Christ moments. Man, I've preached for some of the greatest preachers in Church of God in Christ. One in particular who I consider still a mentor, Dr. Derek W. Hutchins, who just, it was one of those Kairos moments. I was, at the time, making conference observations for Holy Convocation, and he heard me. He followed me to the back room and said, what are you doing this Sunday? I said, preaching for my church. He said, I need you to be at my church this Sunday. And the rest is history in the making. So at the time, his schedule, he was very, very busy doing things for Presiding Bishop Blake. So it's about 2 Sundays a month he was out of his pulpit for a course of about 6 to 7 months. And those 2 Sundays out of the month, he would bring me in to preach for him. Of course, Bishop Edward Robinson, who is a preacher's preacher, has always given me platform to preach and share the gospel. I'll never forget him. I came under the great Dr. D.R. Williams, recently deceased. Dr. Williams has trained probably well over 500 Church of God in Christ preachers and pastors, launched them out into ministry. I'm grateful to be a part of that process of being able to grace his pulpit on several occasions.
Wow. So with that background in ministry and preaching and teaching the word of God, what prompted you to get into consulting for ministries and to start iGroup Consulting?
You know, I guess our burdens or our businesses or our ministry usually are birthed out of our own burdens. And being in ministry, my first pastorate, I was 21 years old. I had been hired by that church to be a youth pastor. 9 months later, I was asked to be the pastor. The senior pastor stepped down, recommended me to be the pastor. There were 14 other preachers and elders who had been there a lot longer than I. Going through that, at that time, that church had come out of a mainstream denomination, AME, to the independent status. Mm-hmm. Not having someone to talk to help me, even when that church was really, really thriving and growing, what to do, what not to do, financially, ministerially, activities, that kind of thing. And then that was a church in the city of Gainesville. Then given a church in Fort White, which is, you know, out in a rural area, a city that has less than 1,000, a town that has less than 1,000 people, one stoplight, how to pastor a ministry like that. And then to go from there to be assigned to Panama City, being a recreation city. You know, I learned a lot with these, you know, different assignments, and I always wished that I had someone. Well, in that time, I started writing, and I brought some of my compositions, and I've got tons and tons of these where the Lord would give me revelation as it pertains to the first century church and how the church is to grow. So, you know, as the assignments were coming to me and other assignments that I've been given through the Church of God in Christ, I saw that I was a transitional pastor, and they saw that I was a transitional pastor to go to a church where a pastor is deceased or a pastor had resigned or a church was in, you know, some kind of calamity, to go in, get it right, and then they'll move me to the next place. So God was tooling me up to be a planting pastor, but definitely to be a prophetic consultant to pastors, small church pastors especially.
So how can what you do now with iGroup Consultants benefit a ministry?
You know, I think more than anything is to come along, work side the leader, our friendship and partnership, identifying those barriers to growth. And they usually aren't things like the pastor isn't preaching. Most of the pastors say that I consult for. I know I preach well, or I know the message is strong. It usually has a lot to do with the people centered around them. And that's why our process of planting our churches, it's about a 3-year process before we actually really go public, because we're building that team like Jesus did for 3.5 years to make sure we have the right kind of people who, when we produce fruit, we have sustainable fruit. That our fruit doesn't grow, ripen too early, fall off the tree. We want to make sure we have sustainable fruit. We're being highly productive and effective in what we're doing. So that has a lot to do with my background. Pastor Edwards has been working in the secular world in human resources, of interviewing, making sure, qualifying, make sure we have the right people in the right places, not just by skill. There's an old saying to say we hire skill and we fire character. So, you know, you want to make sure you have highly skilled, but people with high level character as well. So it's mainly that. So it's really getting in, working with the team, making sure the team is infused with the vision, embody the vision, practice the vision. And if not, how to assemble and recruit the right kind of people to move that church forward.
You're listening to Pastoral Insights, and I'm your host, Pastor Vincent T. Edwards. And my guest today is Pastor Eric Thomas. And we're talking about his group, iGroup Consultants, and what they do for ministries. When you typically receive a phone call or a letter or an email from a ministry saying, hey, we need your help, what is one of the first things that you do to say, okay, we want to help you, we think we can help you? What do you do first?
Listen. I ask a few open-end questions. I have 5 questions always that I ask to allow that pastor or organization leader, but right now we're talking about churches, to open up. And I write a lot. It's consulting is more about listening than it is teaching and talking. And sometimes it takes several conversations to really identify the root. If we're dealing with something, the fruit, if it's not being productive, the church is not growing, that's a fruit in a sense. But we got to get down and say, before we just chop down a tree, let's get down. Let's look in your soil. Let's look at the root, and let's find exactly why this is springing up every time. Why these same weeds keep choking out seasons of your ministry. So those 5 questions are always that thing. But like I said, just really attentive listening to pastors. You could really hear at the heart of a pastor, because there's some pastors I have not been able to help. And I've said that I'm not able to help you, because their intention is just to grow a church and make a name for themselves, make a reputation, which is not what we're called to do.
What are we called to do as pastors? Man, you know, you brought it up. We're going to talk, because we have a listening audience. What are we called to do? Because I just, you know, this recently I was delivering a message, and I was talking about the importance of the Bible, and what came to me was that we've lost our purpose.
Yes.
And we're more concerned about paper than the people. And when I say paper, I'm old school. I mean those dead presidents.
Yeah, yeah.
And I also moved into the fact that we're more concerned about sales, cha-ching, mm-hmm. rather than souls, mm-hmm. meaning I want you to buy my mm-hmm. next book, mm-hmm. your next
sure.
ticket to
sure.
the conference,
sure.
My prayer cloth, my $100 prayer line, more than I'm concerned about go ye therefore. So what's up?
Well, yeah, that kind of commercialization of ministry is really a lot of why ministries don't move forward, even for people who are very genuine and not flattery, like yourself, myself. I consider myself to be very genuine and pure in what we do. It makes it hard because ministry has become so commercialized, and I'm not against books and tapes or conferences.
Oh, neither am I.
Yeah.
But if it's the
motivation that drives that ministry, Jesus started with, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. So it always starts with serving the underserved, reaching those who have not been reached. And I do air quotes right now, say the unreachable. That means penetrating areas that normally a church probably necessarily would not go. Jesus did that. You found Jesus sitting with sinners, being criticized and scrutinized by the religious public. That's our assignment. It's serving the underserved, reaching the unreachable.
Why aren't we fulfilling that mission?
You said it. No, it's the commercialization of ministry. It is building. And one of my things I would say in naming strategies is to make sure I never, my dad taught me this. First time I said, I was a teenager and I was getting some opposition. And I said, you know, dad, pray for me. Some people coming against my ministry. My dad is just an old school preacher. So he yells at me, you ain't got no ministry. It's God's ministry. And I'm like, yeah, absolutely. Why am I trying to own this? This doesn't belong to me.
Wow.
It belongs to him.
Kind of brings to mind, upon this rock I build
my church. I think it was Peter who told one of his mentees, don't lord over God's heritage as a pastor. They're not yours. You know, so over the years, I've changed my verbiage from saying things like my members, like this is a flock of God in which he has made me shepherd, under shepherd, you know, to serve under him as the chief shepherd.
So how do you get ministry leaders and pastors to understand that by way of your consulting with them? And have you received any opposition when you go in and you speak from that point?
Of course.
Which is a biblical point.
Of course. Of course. I've gotten the, don't come back here. I really have. I've gotten those voice messages. Thank you for your services. We won't be needing you anymore. I have. And Jesus said this would happen. I shake the dust off my feet and I'm not even offended with them. And if they call me back, I probably, if they have a repentive heart, will go back. But I've gone places where they have said, hey, I need you to help my church grow. I said, well, you know, here's what I can do. I can help you get to a place where we've identified, like I said, the things that are causing the ministry not to grow. And if your motive is wrong, let's change that. Let's start with that. It always starts on the inside of us, our heart. You know, when Jesus told the rich young ruler, give everything that you have and you shall have treasures in heaven. He walked away sad. The Bible was talking about the condition of that man's heart. And I'm saying that's usually us, man, where God is saying, hey, I want you to give everything up. I've seen that in you, Pastor Edward, like you're very unselfish and making sure you push the vision of true holiness forward without any demands for it to come back to you. Because one, we know the Levite's inheritance is the Lord. Mm-hmm. So as a Levite or a leader, you know, as we serve the temple, that when I reference the Levites, we know, man, our blessings come from God.
That's it. And I thank you for that. You know, because to me, that's what it's all about, that sacrifice, Jesus' sacrifice.
Amen. Amen.
And a lot of times we glance over that portion of scripture. You're listening to Pastoral Insights. My guest is Pastor Eric Thomas, and we're talking about what he does to help ministries and organizations. Let's talk a little bit now, move from iGroup Consultants to Impact Life Ministries. What is that all about?
Impact Life Ministries is probably, it's definitely one of those type of ministries that's before its time. You know, when I talk to our leaders, I call it an underground movement, because certain people keep asking me, where are you meeting? When are you meeting? And I give very little details. Of course, even on the website, there's some information that purposely, you know, I'm in branding and marketing, purposely we allude, we put some elusive information on there, because we don't want to be necessarily, we don't want to be out before time. Our process is 3 years of finding leaders and molding them. The type of ministry, it's a marketplace church. It's really designed for people to get them to the high places in the marketplace.
What do you mean marketplace church?
Educators, politicians, business people, of course, people in arts and entertainment, science, technology.
So are you trying to get them into the church, or are you trying to go out to minister to them in the marketplace?
I'm doing them just like Jesus did. I'm identifying people who say, come follow me and I'll make you a fisher of men. So actually a lot of people in our core right now, and I probably am giving some of our secrets right now, that actually aren't necessarily there spiritually. And they keep saying that, Pastor Eric, why have you chosen us to be a part of this team? Man, look at Matthias. Look at Peter. Those guys, man, it just took some time, but they already have the influence in the marketplace. They need that honing and they need that molding. They aren't necessarily as astute in scripture as I am, but, you know, I think that's why God called me to be their leader, to show them the word and get them firm in the word, the foundation of the word. But, you know, we're going to use that leverage and influence that they already have in the marketplace to go do some great things.
Going out to be fishers of
Absolutely.
Men. Wow. What has been one of your greatest challenges with regard to your consulting and then one with regard to Impact Life Ministries?
It takes time. And I was meditating on this before our show. I was meditating on timelessness. Ephesians 3 says he has put eternity in our heart. That's timelessness. And then he embodies us. Man, it's like, what is this guy? Why do you do this? Why do you put eternity in our heart? And then you put us in this barrier called time. Because we want things to happen right away. Because when we see it, it's like, we see it. It's like, I could touch it. It's like, I could see a growing, thriving ministry. I could see the ministries touching people. But then God's saying it takes time. In that same text, he says he makes everything beautiful in time. So I'm embodied in timelessness, in timeness, while timelessness embodies me. That being said, to answer your question, is that a lot of frustration for most people is, I want it quick. I want it fast. I want it in a hurry. Especially if you've been in ministry a long time. You know, you and I, we're no novices in ministry. We've been in ministry a while. Wow. So, you know, we kind of wanted to plant, you know, cultivate soil, plant a seed, water it, and it's growing by next week. And that's not the case.
It's not the case. It's almost like those genetically modified
organisms.
But you can't have a GMO church.
Wow. I got to use it if you'll let me borrow it.
You can have poetic license on that.
Thank you. No, but that's absolutely it. And so I use this in teaching a lot that, you know, my baby girl is 13, as I shared with you in the pre-program talk. But, you know, if she was six, or let's say she was four, and, you know, she's on her way to being a gorgeous young lady. But let's say if I put a four-year-old to bed and wake up the next day and she has the body of an 18-year-old.
Like, what you putting in the water? What you feeding?
You've been
eating steroids.
Yes. But we all automatically know that's not right.
No, something's wrong with that.
So the body of Christ takes time to grow, to mature, to perfect. So that it needs, and that's what we do in consulting. As we work with people, even at the end of contracts, I like to come back in and say, hey, let's do a checkup. Let's make sure you got a healthy church. Let's make sure the ears and the arms and, you know, just basic checkups like that are working. And then other pieces will grow and develop. The maturity, the maturation will come. You know, Bible tells us that we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, there is that perfecting that eventually comes, but it takes time to get there.
The whole concept of time. Have you, in your consulting experience, seen a ministry grow too quickly?
Yes. I pastored one.
And what happened?
I'm not pastoring it anymore. It was just one of those things that we all had success too fast. And that was one of those things where I knew that, man, I got to take my experiences and help other people. But I went to a church in Gainesville. When I went there, it had five people. And it was my ambition to grow that church as soon as possible. Because I became frustrated walking out of an office preaching to five people, four if you exclude myself. And so I put the pedal to the metal. I really did. I mean, I spent nights up writing and reading research and George Barna group and just... And I spread those people thin. And as soon as one of them started to experience burnout, and I've had to repent to her, she was just kind of saying, hey, I need a timeout. We're doing a lot. I replaced her. It's like, yeah, you got to give the pastor's vision. This is when I kind of came to the mindset, this ain't my church. This is God's church. So we did, it was growing, but as fast as it grew was as fast as it fell apart. And we didn't have that kind of trust. We didn't have that kind of camaraderie. There were issues with character. There were so many things that were so dysfunctional, Pastor Edwards, that I couldn't believe that I was sitting, as soon as I was sitting in a church that was packed, I was sitting in a church that was literally empty.
Packed with people,
mm-hmm.
but empty from the standpoint of what?
Substance. I just infused that church with a lot of activity. Mm. I thought the activity would give us more visibility, which it did. I had people staffed in the wrong places. I had people doing hospitality who didn't have a hospitable bone in their body. But it was just that warm body concept that I just did. Hey, what do you want to do? Not even asking what do they want to do. I got a need. I need some greeters. I need some people here and there, and start just plugging people in and say, hey, we'll train them. We'll get them where they need to. And literally, there are people who said, Pastor, I don't want to do this. But as an honor for me, and those, even some of them, endeared me as a spiritual father, did it.
Just because of you.
Right.
That relationship.
My authority actually came kind of abusive. Because I was saying, hey, you do what your pastor say do, and they did it. But then it would just fizzle out. And,
So based on that experience, what do you share through iGroup consultants with pastors when you sit down and strategize with them?
I use a scripture reference of 1 Samuel chapter 17. When David volunteered to fight Goliath, Saul, which is a type of leadership, took David into his chamber and put his armor on him. And in that, the armor actually had identifying marks that if David actually won, Saul would get the credit as one of Saul's military men. I think we often do that sometimes as pastors. We try to empower people under our label. And David had to say to him, just let me be me. Man, think for a moment. Let's just rewrite the text for a moment. If David had gone out in Saul's gear trying to fight Goliath, and something that he had not tested or tried. It wasn't authentic. It was not him. Man, the devastation of that loss. Because we know he was always set to gain that victory. I think we need to let people just be themselves. And we pastors be okay with that. Not make them what we think they should be. Catch them, win them. But let them be and express their faith the way that they find most comfortable.
And use the gifts that God has given them,
Amen.
Not the ones that we want them
Amen.
To have.
Amen. Amen.
Wow. From workshops and trainings, what do you do?
From the workshop perspective, workshops, man, I like to call them intensives because my workshops are very intense. Usually I ask for 2 to 3 days to come in and work with leaders, to really build a rapport with leaders. And then from an aspect of a historical approach of the church, which is the foundation of what we need to build on, and then a more contemporary understanding as far as research and development, and then the human resource part, equipping the saints to do the work of ministry. That would be, of course, a seminar as well. And the consulting piece, typically we ask for about 6, 9, 12 months. Again, take some time to build a rapport, identify those things that are really in there. Just depends on the size of the ministry as well. If it's a fairly new or fairly small church, it doesn't take that long to get to what we need to identify as the deliverables to get the church to at least another phase. And then if they asked us to go to the next phase with them, we absolutely want to participate in that next phase as well.
So for those ministry leaders that are listening right now, how can they contact you to sit down and talk with you, to give you a call and say, okay, I heard about you. Tell me a little bit more about what you do and how our ministry can benefit from your consulting or your workshops.
Absolutely. iGroupConsultants.com. Go online, register to schedule a phone consultation, myself, Angela Moten, Pastor Eric Johnson, who is on with us as well. We'll talk about an hour, just kind of talk through some things. It's going to get emotional. I usually ask those questions that probe you emotionally. And I like that. And then, we kind of move from there. We pray on some things. We get back within usually about 30 days to really kind of think through things, make sure this is a project we want to do. Is this the right group of people we want to work with?
And that's igroupconsultants.com. Yes. Is their telephone number?
850-345-1783.
All right. That's igroupconsultants.com. And that phone number is 850-345-1783. 850-345-1783. What's next for you, Pastor?
I'm trying to get people to the place of understanding entrepreneurship, marketplace ministry. We call it the entrepreneurial impulse. I think that the world will see real soon, and I'm prophesying here, America is in a state of emergency with this coming election. And I keep telling all of my friends, vote, vote, but understand the power is with the people. We're in that place where we're kind of asking for a king. Man, I felt God there. And God wants to be God over his people. Yeah, he's saying that again. You're looking at these two candidates and saying, which are going to be right for the blacks, the whites, the rich, the poor. And God said, I'm still Lord over all. And the power rested. It always rested with the people. And you look at guys like Noah, who was an entrepreneur to build the ark, preaching and building. At the same time, you look at a guy like Solomon, who had an entrepreneurial impulse. Absolutely, Abraham had the entrepreneurial impulse, both prophetically and apostolically, to go pioneer, plan out, build cities. Nimrod, it was just there. And over time, Israel wanted to be like every other nation. That is the fall of the United States. The United States has wanted to be like every other nation, coming into that one world model. The United States actually has some very distinct, unique distinctions upon it that signifies that God is with this nation. But we're going to get back there with the grace of God. Preachers like you and I, we're going to get it back there. Preaching and building like Noah.
And that's the whole concept, preaching the unadulterated word of God. Not my opinion, but what does the Bible say? Our show is slowly but surely coming to a close. I want to give you the opportunity to give what we would typically call your elevator speech or your pitch, but from the heart, for my listening audience now, for that ministry, that pastor who's really at that junction or that crossroad and says, okay, I know God is calling me to do more, but I need some help. I need some assistance. What can iGroup Consultants do? Talk to that person right now.
We're a group of really apostolic and prophetic gifts that are called to serve people who lead at the helm of an organization, whether it be a civic or religious organization or a secular organization, to put our hands on yours to guide you as King Elisha did to the king, just to show him how to shoot an arrow. To give him the strategy, beat the arrow on the ground, and you're going to have victories. Our thing is to uncover that is below the surface for you, to find and obtain the tools, the treasures, and the techniques to grow and sustain your ministry and your business.
On the internet at igroupconsultants.com. That's igroupconsultants.com. By way of phone, 850-345-1783. That's 850-345-1783. Any last words, Pastor Thomas?
Well, if you're looking for a church, I want you to go to True Holiness, Church of God in Christ. And I love Pastor Vincent Edwards. He's God's secret weapon. And I believe he's one of the emerging voices in the capital city and in the nation and in the world. I mean that genuinely.
Thank you so very much.
Yes, sir.
And he's given all those accolades. This man can preach. And not only that, but he preaches and teaches so profoundly. You just walk away with, my Lord. And it's teaching. Praise the Lord. And I thank God for him. And I thank God for being able to become his friend.
Likewise.
And I want to thank you for coming on Pastoral Insights and sharing what you can do to help ministries, pastors, and the body of Christ.
Amen. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastoral Insights, and I'm your host, Vincent T. Edwards, pastor of True Holiness Church of God in Christ. Visit us on the internet at trueholinesscogic.org, and you can find out more about me on vincenttedwards.com. May God truly bless you.